Welcome to the Artist Engineer Podcast. Join me, Tony Tran.
And me, Bill Robert Haji.
Along with our amazing guests, as we explore how people's inner artist and inner engineer present themselves in their technical careers, in the art they create, and most importantly, in living creative lives.
Well, welcome to our year-end Hot Toddies with Bill and Tony episode. Hi, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I love these episodes.
Same here. I love them as much as I love the Hot Toddies, so cheers. So this episode is going to be, as we said, our tradition. It'll be our third year-ending Hot Toddies episode. And also it's a theme episode, as we've been wanting to do. And the theme is going to be around transitions, which is something Tony and I have been always interested in discussing, how to do them gracefully, endings and new beginnings and those types of things. And especially fitting because this show is going to go into hiatus with this episode. So kind of an ending, what the transition to what form it might be and what Tony and I might do with it next is unknown. If we do something with it next is unknown. So we thought it was fitting to talk about transitions, endings, beginnings, and how to do all that gracefully and do it at the end of the year while we enjoy a lovely drink. So with that in mind, maybe we talk a little bit about endings to start. I think both of us, we've been through this with the show a little bit, trying to say, what else could we do it at this moment? Is it still challenging us? Are we learning new things? And we'll talk a little bit about what we've learned over 3 years, maybe. But, you know, that I think speaks to a lot of different things, roles that you're in your career, situations you're in your life, you know, recognizing when maybe it's time to change gears a little or change direction or end something is actually an interesting start or an interesting beginning of this conversation. What do you think?
Yes, transitions. I think we must have touched on it several times in different episodes. And if you think about a transition is the ending of something and the beginning of another. So it's built right into there. And your life is full of transitions. You mentioned a few in your career, in your life, artistically, et cetera. And think about how to prepare yourselves for these transitions. In Buddhism, we say the constant thing is impermanence. And we're saying on this podcast that transitions are going to happen to all of us. And have happened to all of us, I'm sure. So I'd love to explore from an artist engineer point of view, how we know when to end things from a professional point of view. If you're transitioning into different careers or roles, how you know when is the right time. We certainly have learned a lot in this podcast, talking to our guests about how they went through different artistic, professional transitions in their lives.
Looking back, and it's nice to reflect on some themes and lessons we learned in the show. And you're right, we've mentioned transitions before, but also we've talked with various people about their art and about when you know something is done. We did a whole episode on time to ship, right? Real artist ship. And also, I think that holds true in the business world too. It's, you know, when a project is complete or maybe when a project needs to be, you know, put to sleep type of thing. So there's something about being aware and acknowledging that I think sometimes people don't, for different reasons, won't acknowledge it and maybe go on. The momentum keeps taking you forward. Sometimes it's momentum. Sometimes it's kind of the sunk cost into something, the time and energy and money and whatever you've done. Sometimes you're just still trying to get it just right. Maybe there's a perfectionist in you and there's that final tweak, that final edit, that final piece of the painting that you're trying to work on or the song. So that's part of, I think, ending well is also sometimes you do have to just declare a hopefully victory and move on.
Yeah, I have some thoughts here kind of at a smaller scale. We're talking about engineering projects and when we ship them. And also, it might be actually a kind of a shift in mindset about what an ending is. I hope we can talk about some of these things in be applicable in other areas, in art or in life. But to your point, sometimes we're caught up in the momentum. I often see that in my profession, people start work on something in a software engineering project or a project with a rough idea of how it's going to end. They just do step 1, 2, 3, 4, and hopefully they get to step 100. But often I counsel and advise my team to start with the end in mind I think that comes from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Amazon, the company, has an interesting corporate exercise. It's called a reverse press release. At the beginning of a project, they write a press release as if the project had launched. So this is an amazing launch. We've recognized this amount of revenue. We've impacted this amount of users. Here are some kind of quotations, quotes from like satisfied users. And that is kind of your North Star, your guidepost for the team to say, like, as you're working day by day, week by week, often you can go in different directions, but it's kind of starting with the end in mind, setting kind of a long-term or end vision or end goal really helps you. And then you'll hopefully you'll know when you've met those criteria. You've set that out. We have built the system that will generate this amount of revenue or will capture this amount of users or whatever the goal of that project was. So often that kind of working backwards process is something that I do quite a lot and I ask my team to do. For us, it makes, I hope, it makes us a lot more efficient. And we don't often have to have that question about like, is this project finished? Like those things are set in the beginning.
I've never heard of that, the Amazon press release piece. That's pretty cool. You said maybe it's some of these things are scalable or applicable. But what it reminded me of, and maybe because I recently attended a former colleague and friend's funeral, you know, you should reflect on if you were at your funeral, what people were saying about you, how you would want that story to be told. It's kind of the ultimate end, right? In many ways. And that's really thinking with the end in mind, isn't it? At that point, what do you think that's going to look like and be like? And then try to add up lots of different pieces that get you to there. But let's bring it back to our theme here. And I mentioned kind of momentum and some of those things that kind of allow projects, particularly in corporate worlds, to kind of ramble on or shamble on. And I think it's maybe different in the art world. I think there's a different reason maybe things go on. And I think it's maybe more that kind of either perfectionism or looking for that kind of unstated elegance that we've talked about, and knowing when that project is over or done or ready for public viewing, right? It's not really art until you've shared it.
We often say that Bill and I, we're not artists. We're just kind of artist adjacent. But I've learned quite a lot of lessons from my artist engineer colleagues and friends. One thing I always repeat, something about elegance. We've talked about elegance on this show in terms of like what is in engineering or art, like what is kind of the essence of beauty, and some people define it as elegance. I'll shout out one of my ex-colleagues, Harrison Cannon, who's director of technology at Phillips Auchinhaus, but also in a band for many, many years. He explained to me how he writes songs. He said, the process is just starting with something, but eventually just trying to strip out all the unnecessary parts of it until like you have the essence of the song. In that discussion, I said, that's elegance. It's the same thing we do in software development to make that piece of software as simple as possible. What are your experiences from a creative point of view, which, as we said, is much harder to define in terms of what's done or not done?
Being more of an art appreciator than an artist, and what we learned from various folks we talked to, from what I know of great writers, that's certainly a huge part of writing. And I know even in communicating, I try to coach and teach people about kind of communicating concisely, which is more elegant to me. And I, have a pretty good antenna for, when something's too verbose or extra pieces in there that I don't need to hear. And there could be a better way of communicating things. So I kind of get some of the messaging elements. You brought up Sunil Garg, and we've had several other artists on the show, and they've talked to us about their art. Another part of the show that we've kind of learned from, I think, is about people who have been through these transitions where they gave up something to go do something else. So on the more personal level, some of their stories, not all, because many were doing the work together, or the work was infused, the creativity was infused in the work they were doing, or the technology infused in the creativity. But several of them made jumps, starting with our very first show with John Moore, who had been in a semi-successful rock and roll band, and he was leading that for several years, and then kind of got to the point where he knew he needed to do something else, and had taken that project and band living and band life and all that as far as you could take it, and went into IT and became a very successful chief information officer, still currently at the MacArthur Foundation. And we heard several other people who made those transitions, and those are the personal transitions that we often think about too, where you're, you know, moving from often a career, a vocation, something from one to another that seemed very different, but you maybe take some skills and some experiences from one to the other. So he's one example that made me think of that. And you have other thoughts on folks that we talk to and lessons they taught us in our audience about transitions in your personal professional life?
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I'll list off a few, just because we talked to so many interesting people, in case people want to go back and listen to their stories. And I was thinking that I don't know if there's a common pathway to this. Every story seems a little different in terms of how somebody moved from corporate into kind of independent creative or the reverse. But actually, that, more than I think about it, it has something to do with being ready for opportunity. It was almost not an accident, but they were ready for that opportunity. Some people had planned it. Howard Robot planned a move from, of course, he was a musical artist, and then he was in corporate for a while, but he planned an ending of the corporate world to move in, to go back full time into his music. And he had that very well organized and planned. Everybody else seemed to be able to grab onto an opportunity. Joby Harris from NASA was an independent creative. And then he had the opportunity to work at NASA. He told the story about how that came up as an opportunity. David Voigt, a musician and engineer working as in corporate IT. He shares my story, which we may get into a second. We got laid off in 2020 at the same time, and he used the opportunity to build his own studio, engineering studio. You mentioned John Moore. I don't know if his opportunity was, his transition was opportunistic. He found an opportunity in technology, but you know, being self-aware, and I wish I can give some advice about how to be more self-aware. You know, it's not easy advice to give, but at least being open to those opportunities really seemed to help these people. Maybe opportunities pass us by all the time because we haven't set the intention to say, ideally, I would rather be spending my time getting a paycheck, or ideally, I'd rather be spending my time controlling my time and like painting, for example. So I think that might be a common theme, actually, as I think to our guests, being open to opportunity.
I like to use the phrase strategically opportunistic when I'm talking about a strategy with various people I coach in the Emerging Leader Program, because a lot of times when people think about, you know, what's your strategy, it sounds like a very well thought out plan. I feel, certainly personally, but I think in many cases, it also comes down to being open to opportunity, being able to see opportunity. There's the expression, being able to see around corners, which I think is about being open-minded, thinking creatively, and then being open to taking a risk, right? That's a big part of making the jump into an opportunity and believing a little bit in yourself, that you can actually do something that maybe you weren't doing before or that you'll succeed in it. I do like that theme going through it. You mentioned yours and David's transitions out of The Economist when your team was let go, which was kind of a forced transition, right? There's the transitions that you can be strategically planned. There's the opportunities that come up. And then there's the ones that maybe when it first happens, you don't see it as an opportunity, but it's an ending and a beginning. And I worked for many years for an organization called the Atlantic Philanthropies. It was a large international organization that was spending the founder's money out of existence. So he gave away $8 billion in his lifetime. He wanted it to happen in his lifetime, which it did. But that meant for a couple of years, we knew that all our jobs, everyone in the organization job would be over, and that the organization would end itself. So there'd be no more organization. And it was an interesting place to be because I got to spend time personally thinking about what I wanted to do next, but I also watched other people's reaction to it, because this was, you know, unlike maybe being let go and going off on your own, it was a collective element to it. You also had a lot of time to spend, and these were generally people who didn't want it to end, but understood the reasoning for it. So I think people went through a lot of different processes. Some saw it as an opportunity, some had to grieve it because it was kind of a unique place. And that's another element of ending something, to move past it and not get so attached in their identity to it so that they could see what was next and what was new. So that was actually kind of a fascinating place to be in terms of endings, transitions, and new beginnings.
Oh, that's a very interesting one, because it was like an orchestrated wrapping up and an end. What did the Atlantic, and you said people, of course, reacted to it differently. So besides the kind of the logistics of it, did Atlantic Philanthropies do anything for the team from a kind of a transition point of view, or kind of like a personal like transition?
Yes. There was quite a bit of professional development work done and offered, whether it was that career coaching element, workshops in-house. One of the things I was responsible towards the end was something known as Atlantic Fellowships, which Atlantic made grants into nonprofits that placed people into them with a certain skill set, certain interest. And people came up with some really wonderfully creative ideas on things they wanted to try out. And it was good for the nonprofit. They got a talented individual. It was good for the person trying something out new with some low risk in a way. So I helped run that for the last 2 years that I was there. So it was a very generous organization on that front in terms of how they did the ending.
Great. And it certainly speaks well for the organization to think about the people, not just the company, as things are closing. I wonder if we can take a lesson learned from that in terms of how to, for us personally or in different situations, how to orchestrate endings well again. There's some amount of preparation in this. You talked about taking a risk, like to make a change. We talked about my story in 2020. I got laid off from my company at that time. I look back on that, and every change that I've ever made, either forced or on my own, worked out fine. Didn't mean like it actually worked out well. I took some jobs that I had to quit in a year because it wasn't a good fit. But when I look back, I had lessons learned from that. So in many ways, I've tell people like change is always good. Like any change is good. Like which I hope I'm not lucky in that way. Like I think for some people, forced change works out not badly, but maybe in the long run, it's good. If I can give any kind of have any observation about who did well, who didn't do well, it was those of us who had a bit of a generalist versus specialist experience, and those of us who are maybe doing continuous learning, not just in the momentum of the job, just doing the job, but actually actively thinking about like what skills they're picking up, like in that previous role, how they're kind of crafting their career.
Yeah. And I think, what you said there about every change you've had has worked out. That doesn't mean, everything goes perfectly, right? But I think there's perspective and mindset. And then, like you said, continuous learning. So, when you're in a place or when you're in a situation, you're always changing, but you're learning and growing through it. And when that situation comes to an end, either in a good way because you've decided it, or in some other way, you're taking that with you and you're going to learn from it and move forward. And I think a lot of that is so much mindset, having a more positive mindset to move you forward. And that doesn't mean bad things don't happen. Lots of bad things happen in this world, but your reaction to them is going to inform your experience of them. Kind of, as you said, whatever the change is, it seems to have, worked out. And that's probably a lot of positive mindset and perspective.
We announced at the beginning that our podcast is going on hiatus. Thanks, Bill, for not burying the lead. How well have we prepared for this ending, for this transition? What are your thoughts on what's next, either for you, Bill, personally, or for the podcast? Maybe we can go back to our core values as well when we started episode one, and what our principles and kind of what we wanted to achieve out of this were.
Absolutely. So personally, I've been really happy with this podcast. I want to thank the audience for listening and for you for co-hosting with me. Originally, the goals that I kind of remember from 3 years ago were, one, do something new, podcast, which neither one of us had ever done. And that's been a lot of fun. So I could see the future having some other kind of podcast or this podcast again. But also, I had said to talk to really cool, interesting people about this idea of creativity from an artist and an engineer perspective, both archetypes that we both are intrigued by and know and maybe dabble in ourselves a little bit. And then just to hear about people weaving creative lives, which we certainly have heard that too. So all those goals are kind of accomplished. So this has been awesome. For me personally, I'm working on my coaching practice. So at human42.com. So I'm launching a new course in the spring and I revamped my website. So I have some new things that I'm doing. So you can check that out. And I would not be surprised if we are back in the future with this theme in some other format, in some other way. How about you?
Agreed. I think it's been an amazing 3 years. If I didn't say it on the podcast, I wrote it in our bios when we launched this website. My North Star is I want everybody to have a good boss, which is very broad and very kind of like practical in terms of what I do day by day. In this podcast, we were so interested in this community that you and I both knew very well, artist engineers from our, that we saw in our corporate lives and in our personal lives, finding a way to understand and hopefully help them understand how they can complement these two sides of their lives together. And I think in the guests that we talked to, we learned quite a lot of common themes, a lot of common stories, and also how people did it differently. So I think every guest we had just shared something really, really amazing. My thoughts are to expand, maybe in focus in on some of these management practices, frameworks, maybe more directly, maybe with a different type of community, not the artist engineer community, maybe new managers or et cetera. I think this was a great step. One benefit from starting a podcast with you, Bill, personal benefit is I've always wanted to improve my public speaking. If it's improved a little bit, this podcast has been really worth it to me. And certainly you and I have that shared vision, I know, about making people successful in their careers and their personal lives. As you said, you're expanding your coaching practice.
Well, that all sounds great, Tony. I could see a future of you adding a lot more value to folks who are more interested in management and being good managers, which is such a noble profession. So I want to thank our guests, as you had mentioned. They were all terrific. And I want to thank our audience.
I couldn't have said it better, Bill. Thank you to everybody. It's been an amazing journey.
Take care.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can email us at podcast@theartistengineer.com if you have show ideas or want to follow up with feedback or just want to say hi. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to connect. You can find more information about this episode in the show notes at www.theartistengineer.com. And finally, if you enjoy the show, please leave an iTunes review as it helps the show get discovered by more people. And also hit the subscribe button.